Welcome back to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace and prosperity in Europe. And this is now the section 14.3.1. This is about European Germany. Now let's discuss Germany. Obviously, that's a very important country in worldwide history. It's a $4 trillion economy. It's the country with 83 million people in the middle of Europe. And it's the most important economy and state inside the European Union. So it matters very much for Europe, for NATO, for peace in Europe. And obviously, there's a very special history with three times aggression against France and against its neighbors. And it is now firmly based inside NATO. And it is a very strong and good ally of the United States of America, basically reconstructed by America after the war and secured during the crisis of the Cold War for 40 long years. And still today, America secures Germany to be a good ally. And that's very good like that. This is the stable alliance between Germany and America. It's based on friendship. It's very important from economics, from security, for stability in Europe, and it's very positive. And I hope it will be the motor of Western unity in the coming decade, meaning NATO enlargement, EU enlargement, Eurozone enlargement, and Germany as the pillar of American peace in Europe. And as Pax Europiana, also as a contribution to peace by Germany, by Austria, to do these whole institutions. But let's talk specifically about Germany, because it's elections now in this year, in September 2021. And today was also the presentation of the new CDU election program. It was by the new CDU party leader, Mr. Armin Laschet, a Christian Democrat from Western Germany, who will most likely... Okay, let's see. It's of course a guess, yeah. But he will be the next prime minister or the next chancellor, as it's called in German language. He will be the next prime minister. He is a very centrist Christian Democrat, and he is a very good European and also a very good transatlantic partner. He has made some funny statements in the past. I think he has learned. I think he is a reliable partner of America in the future. Will he be able to govern and to modernize Germany, which is so urgently needed? I think yes. And what kind of coalition should be the preferred one? I hope, obviously, for a coalition with the Greens and the Liberals. In Germany, they called it Jamaica. That's for the colors of the Jamaicanian flag. So it's basically this black for the Christian Democrats. It's the green for the Greens and for the ecological party. And it's yellow for the liberals. Liberals is it's different in America, the term. It's a market liberal party of the tradition of European liberalism. Not, it's a bit different to the Democratic Party, but it's also, you know, the American political system is a bit different. I will make a specific podcast about these political terms in the future. But that is basically the pro-American coalition, the NATO coalition, the pro-Western integration. An alternative would be, together with the Social Democrats and the former ex-communists and of the left-wing party, and also with the Green, that is the so-called left project, the red-red-green project. Yeah? And that would be also an option, but I don't think they will have a majority. And I obviously think that would be a terrible way to govern Germany, and that would be a major crisis. But no matter, Germany is firmly anchored in NATO and in the EU, and even an experiment of left-wing fantasy could be not fundamentally somehow be a danger for the Western unity or something like this. It was just a continuation of the present misery of preserving the status quo. Because this is now, since the shock of 2014 and Putin's third time to rise to power in the third presidency, this is the situation of Germany. Why it is? Because there is a little bit of this everybody intervening in politics, this different tradition. And unfortunately, the third government of Merkel in 2013 was then again with the Social Democrats. And there is a co-governance 2013 to now, since 7 years. It's coming the second term to an end. But it's a bit of because of the lack of alternatives, and it's out of political energy. There's little common political denominator in this reform, in this kind of coalition. They are too divergent. They have also different outlooks in geostrategic direction. The SPD, especially Schröder, trying to track it more towards the east. And then also the pro-Western team of the CDU-CSU. And so it's a bit paralyzed, Germany, since 2013. And also the hammer blows of the Greek debt crisis, the migration crisis, the Brexit crisis, the Syrian crisis. This was quite a lot of crises, and now the Corona crisis. So basically this decade from 2013, the two second and third, the third and fourth mandate of Mrs. Merkel, with all respect, were a constant crisis management with little real reforms. This is contrary to the first mandate, also with the Social Democrats, but there was much more dynamic, cooperative mood, and they managed also the great financial crisis ultimately, but they managed it quite well. And also they managed and achieved important steps like Bulgaria, Romania, and the European Union in 2007. And also they put forward then also that Croatia could join, prepared everything. So there was some progress on some major issues also internally. There was a project for cooperation. And then, and this is the tragedy of Mrs. Merkel and the whole last 16 years. Obviously, in 2009, there was this cooperation with the ideal coalition partner between the Christian Democrats and the Liberals. There was the Foreign Minister Westerwelle, the Deputy Prime Minister, and there was this project of tax reform. And obviously here, Mrs. Merkel failed Germany, and she betrayed Westerwelle. And she never did the tax reform, the tax cuts, which were the key political project of the Liberals at that time. And they basically thought they can join with Merkel and to get these tax cuts done. Because also Merkel talked about tax cuts in opposition when she was still the opposition leader during the first big election. But she somehow is afraid of that topic because it was toxic for Stoiber in 2002 because of the divisions in the parties and because ideologically the Christian Democrats are a high spending, high taxation party. They love the situation as it is now and they were never really ready for a significant tax reform. And Westerwelle tried it so intensively, Mrs. Merkel stonewalled him. And then the Liberals lost in 2013 and they dropped out of the parliament. I mean, it was a disaster for the Liberals. And obviously then it was again this kind of out of necessities and out of alternative coalition agreement with the Social Democrats. Whereas I'm normally for this kind of great coalition when something great must be achieved. For example, EU membership of countries. I'm very much in favor of national coalition of national unities in a crisis. But in the normal situation, when there is no big unity project to be achieved, then it's very problematic if the two major center-right and center-left-wing parties work together. And then the kind of more extreme parties on the left and the right obviously are leading the opposition. And this is exactly what happened in Germany. And then we have this terrible AVD, it's called, or AfD, sorry, this alternative party, which was first kind of for reasonable economic politics, that's true. But they then took all these kind of extreme xenophobic elements and partly extreme right-wing elements. And now they are pretty messy, dirty stuff. Yeah. And so this came because of the Great Coalition. Because then, similar like it was in Austria, when they all work together and share all the spoils of the booty and all the jobs for the boys, then obviously the opposition from the extreme left and extreme right has a heyday. And then these extreme parties are celebrating the electoral successes. So that was very bad that Mrs. Merkel destroyed the FDP. And it's also one of the explanations, these wounds of 2013, that also then the FDP didn't go into the coalition in 2017, in this green Merkel coalition, where exactly what I hope now, this Jamaica, was very close already to getting done. But in the last moments, the liberals moved out. And then basically again, this out of any alternative coalition of the Social Democrats and the Christian Democrats developed. And then we have this mess that we have here, the most powerful country of Europe, not very powerful, because basically it's paralyzed. Because they go in one direction, the one, and the other in the other direction. Mrs. Merkel losing constant authority and doing everything like being a little bit upset, doing her own things, but lacking the authority to impose her will on her ministerial colleagues. And so the Schröder intervening with his Russian troops, the Social Democrats doing their own quite extensive clientele policy and of minimum wages, collective bargaining. They were really successful for their clientele in the last years since 2013. But obviously the big reforms of Germany, the ones which now Mr. Laschet calls modernization reform, and he calls for a modernization decade. That was the big motto of the 2 days speech. There's also a Twitter hashtag. And it's necessary, actually, a modernization decade, because the last decade was lost for modernization, because Germany was paralyzed now for a decade. The only thing which was happening then was this kind of defensive project, very expensive, like a climate change, because there was all this climate youth movement going on. Then they have somehow bowed to that. And additionally, they had this second quite extreme energy change, out of nuclear, first after Fukushima on one day, and secondly then now under the pressure of the youth movement of this Fridays for Future, also the end of coal as a form of energy, the end of German coal. Germany still imports a lot of Russian coal, Russian gas, yeah, that's no problem. But German coal expensively was then basically always in the process of being decommissioned for double-digit billions of euro, very expensive. Obviously, I think, why not? It's a choice to do it, but it's quite expensive. And was it necessary in that speed and that form, whenever the way to burn coal in Germany is already very high technology and with a lot of filters and cleaning? But anyhow, that's not the most decisive issue. The most decisive issue, obviously, is taxation. Taxation is the key issue for a modern Germany, because no country in the world left, by a few exemptions of some bizarre ex-socialist countries, is still at 30% of corporation tax. And that's the level. 15% for the Landes level and 15% for the federal level. 30. That's completely outrageous and beyond any competitive level. And that's the reason why Germany has also not considerable growth. And that's also quite good for all other countries in Europe, in a sense, because all the capitalists are looking for investment opportunities in Eastern Europe or in the emerging countries, because it's so difficult to invest. While the labor market was reformed and the welfare system and the pension system, Germany is not an overspending country. Germany has quite a flexible labor market, and Germany really has reformed its social welfare system. But that was all before Merkel under the Schröder government of the left, interestingly enough, in the so-called agenda. That is all done, and also the pension system is not too expensive compared to Austria, to France. We are completely adding up a time bomb of social obligations. But Germany has done all these things. So the only big thing is the taxation. And this is the ultimate issue. Obviously, you could also liberalize something, and you could also then privatize something. I talked about it, that Germany has quite a significant banking sector, which was semi-state organized with the state guarantee and was so expensive in the financial crisis. And Germany has also this industrial assets, which I think could also be sold. But it's not the most decisive issue. The one thing which is a problem is taxation 30% and also all this level of progressive taxation. While now the solidarity tax for the German unity, the funding, was already significantly abolished, not completely, but mostly. That was good, but it should be completely abolished. And Germany needs a 20% corporation tax and a much more simplified and lower progressive taxation system. Best, obviously, a flat tax, that would be perfect, but Germany is far from that. And it obviously, what is important is to increase the levels when the progressivity kicks in, because in Germany, the normal people with 50,000 yearly income are already taxed, like in America, the millionaires with 35%. Yeah, that's quite outrageous. Anyhow, it's about tax, tax, tax. When Merkel is gone, tax reform must be the ultimate priority, and that must be also then the way to combine and to satisfy the different interests in the coalition of Jamaica. The liberals get the tax reform, the Greens get this climate portfolio and the foreign policy, the Minister of Finance for the Liberals, the Minister of Transport and Foreign Affairs for the Greens, and the German CDU, the chancellorship. I think that is the formula around it. It must work quite fine if you don't want really a pro-Russian government. Yeah? And in order to facilitate, also America can do a lot, because not to insist all the time on this 2% budget for the NATO, which is a complete waste of taxpayers' money, because 1.5 is enough for Germany, because that's already close to 60 billion, and that's quite enough money for Germany, which will never be a big power projector ever in its history again, out of historic reason, and contributing the same like France makes a lot of sense. And this 30 billion can be so well used for Ukraine's and the Balkans EU accession and NATO accession, and to build all the infrastructure in Eastern Europe, which is needed for NATO accession to be effectively working, and also to build and connect with Eastern Europe. That's much more strategically important, the German contribution to Eastern European infrastructure, than to buy more tanks in Germany or more airplanes or more ships, yeah? With a German flag flying around the world. That nobody wants. That was defeated in the past, and that's a waste of taxpayers' money. Better make sure that the Ukrainians get into the EU and NATO, have tanks, and they can defend Europe then towards the east, and they are willing to use them as well. That's also important. Yeah. So when it comes to modernity, what I talk about is quite clear. Germany needs also better infrastructure, because the country is densely populated. In America, some people complain it's densely populated. It has 30 persons per square kilometer. Germany has 230 persons per square kilometer. It's the most densely populated of the big states outside of China and India, to my best knowledge. But it's really big and it's intensively populated. So here Germany needs much more infrastructure, faster rails, larger highways, and really an infrastructure drive, and get these things done as well. The last airport management of Berlin, which took 15 years to complete and was quadrupling the costs and was a joke of the world, yeah? That was the shame. Yeah? Really, Germany needs to build more and to build better, to build faster, and to invest heavily in that. Yeah? Also, Germany needs a more open policy, because the last years of protectionism to kill TTIP, that was Sigmar Gabriel, and now Julia Klöckner is killing Mercosur. That's shameful. That's the end of German industry as we know it. These are the people who carry down the German economy while open eyes running against the wall. That's really very bad, yeah? And that needs to be changed. Yeah. But it's not just that. It's also that the German digitalization, the German effort to join the modernity is really crashing against the wall of reality now in the corona crisis, where the children have no digital access in schools, where the schools are not digitalized, but do the things like in the 1970s, because the teachers hate the modernity. They hate science and they are teachers. That's really bad. And they want to do the things like they have always been done. Yeah, that's not the Germany that will win the debate about the future. So let's look also about doing business, because that's also my approach, because all countries can be evaluated very well how are they ranked with doing business from the World Bank. That's normally only for transformation economies, but it's also quite useful to see that worldwide rank for starting a business of the 200 countries, Germany is at, 125. So there's 124 countries which are doing faster, more efficient way to register a business. It's quite shocking. Dealing with construction permits is just on place 30. That's not too bad. Getting electricity is the fifth one in the world. Quite good. Registering property is 76. Getting credit 48. Protecting minority investors, it's 61. And, then enforcing contracts, the courts obviously are very good, and resolving insolvency, world best. Yeah? So the rule of law is very good. Germany has a really very good rule of law sector. There's clarity in the ownership, there's clarity in things. Yeah? But when it comes to the efficiency, here much can be done. And here the Germans have a specific problem because they have never really agreed on a real digital strategy, on a unification of the data centers, on one standard to get the digitalizations done. And that's why they lag so much behind. Yeah, they have obviously many advantages in the center of Europe, this high productivity of the industry, the innovation power of the big companies and of the SMEs they have. But they have never really also globalized, or under the competition of globalization, reformed the public administration. And that's quite shameful. In all this digital learning, digital public administration, Germany ranks together with Romania, Bulgaria, among the last sector of the 27 member states, somewhere around 24, 26, yeah. And then Mr. Laschet says we were perfect in 2019, but then came Corona. Corona is just, the big mirror in the face. How do you perform in the case of a crisis? And Germany has been like, it was a shock how badly the public administration has responded to the last 20 years of digitalization, because all these things were well known already. So that must be changed, and there must be more progress. Also Germany then to obviously come closer again towards the US and to end Nord Stream 2 completely, and to make sure that this is not happening and that there is a more pro-American trade policy, also to get TTIP done and to get the transatlantic agreement. And obviously it's not autarky, because Mr. Laschet has now introduced the word autarky, because he was now responding to this nationalist reflexes that in the crisis of 2020-21, there was not all these vaccines ready, and there was no, the masks were not ready. And then he always blamed, it's easy to do the populistic card and play against China and call for autarky. Instead, the truth is what we need to do, to be much more open, to have TTIP and Mercosur done, make more trade agreements, get all this done, because then the markets will be more interconnected, we can faster respond, and also make less of this kind of BS policy, like before in 2019 it was so popular to fight all plastic. The biggest enemy, we were so bored, was suddenly plastic. Came your corona, we knew that we need a lot of plastic because all the protection equipment is of plastic, obviously. But before, in 2019, we were like in this luxury world, which some of these NGO Europeans are, that we need to fight the plastic, yeah, and the recycle economy. That we need to recycle is obvious, but that we need to fight plastic is a bit of nonsense. And we have seen how the Chinese were then the only one with big capacities to produce all these things. And then, unfortunately, some corrupt MPs have then used their connections with China to make a really big commission. That was also quite shocking when you see that actually Germany should be a role model against corruption and for good governance. But unfortunately, just in the 10 years of somehow paralysis, protectionism, autarkism, corruption, collusion has also entered the German system and the German political system, while they always were very arrogant that they know exactly what the best model is. Unfortunately, now, when you want to teach somebody about anti-corruption and politics, they all read this kind of 500,000 commission for parliamentarians. That's more seen than a role model for the dark side of the moon, and that's really very sad. Yeah. So Germany needs a modernization decade, because the last one was lost in this big coalition with the Social Democrats. And now the question is, can it really push forward? What we also have seen is now that, for example, countries like Austria, they had very efficient management of the so-called Corona subsidies, because we have worked in Austria on the integration of the taxation system and the subsidy system for the so-called Agency for Economic Support, which, by the way, was established by the Americans and by the Marshall Fund, like the KfW. In Austria, it's called AWS. And these agencies are all coming from the Marshall Time funds. Thanks, America, for your support. And they are the origin of that. But in Germany, they have not ever integrated the systems. In Austria and in other countries, there's unified taxation numbers. And then the companies, all the money they have to pay or they can get is in this direct relation with the tax office. But in Germany, they were, for federal reasons or for bureaucratic reasons, never ready to integrate their systems, probably also the so-called data protection. Because in Germany, the most important is that your data is protected. Yeah, it's not that your life and your property is protected, but the data. That is obviously also what is holding all of Europe back, this kind of obsession of the German left, and then others are caving into that, that everything in the internet is dangerous, and that the internet and the telephone is dangerous. It is destroying the brain of the children, and it's also so dangerous because then Bill Gates knows your data, and Facebook is also bad. And, you know, when you have this kind of narrative about how bad the digitalization is for the children, when you have all these narratives how bad then the supervision state comes, and all these kind of left-wing narratives, then obviously your Corona app is not working, your health administration has to send faxes and no emails, then all these test applications and the management system of these meetings and appointments is not digitalized, and then you have to write letters to the people and not emails, as it is today in Germany, and then you stay somewhere in between the Stone Age and the 1980s. Because everything worked so good in the past. That's a very dubious claim in the case of Germany, but nevertheless, the mentality still is like this, and you see it with the teachers who don't want to get vaccinated, with the teachers who don't want to teach because of the afraid of getting infected, but they don't want to be vaccinated because they're afraid of that, and the data must be protected. That's the most important. Don't get me started. It's a painful situation. So that's, I think, most of the things I want to say about Germany. I hope for a Jamaica coalition. I hope for a Germany which supports Mercosur, which supports TTIP, which is not falling in the back of the American and of the Brazilian friends, which is somehow a serious partner for the global economy, which doesn't want to export a failed social democratic high-tech system globally via the OECD, but is ready to include Romania and Bulgaria, which is also ready to include all Europeans into the Schengen zone, and is no longer blocking the labor market access of Balkans and of Ukraine, and a more open Germany, a country which is the new America of Europe, a country of hope and of growth and of prosperity, the country with responsibility for European unification now that the United Kingdom is gone, and somebody who is not leaving to French fantasies of whatever kind of power projection and imperial past we don't want. Yeah? A Germany which is a fair friend of all smaller European countries, but is also ready to take responsibility in a crisis and is ready to lead. And it's not that we want to be afraid of being dominated when Germany buys the vaccination for everybody. No, in a crisis, the friends have the task to take responsibility and to act, yeah, and not to shift the responsibility out of the fear of a long gone past. Yeah, that's also wrong. and also the debate about Ukraine. Ukraine wants to join NATO and EU. It's not connected to the past. It's connected to the future. So help the Ukrainians into the EU and NATO. It's not about the Second World War, everything in the world, yeah? Obviously, it matters, that's no doubt, and I've talked a lot about it as well, but, you know, when you go to Germany, you have a very active memorial culture, commemoration culture, and also the coping and the awareness of the past. It's maybe not perfect, but it's quite better than many other countries have it in the world, where also terrible things have happened. Nevertheless, obviously, Germany quite unique in its guilt, yeah? And the guilt should also be translated in responsibility and not in paralysis, because paralysis doesn't help anybody of the former victim countries when then the situation today is worse, yeah? What is really helping everybody is a growing Germany, not in the land borders, obviously, but in the economy, a country which is taking everybody up and lifting everybody up and lifting the whole EU up because it's growing good, yeah? When we're all somehow declining and now we are just the fourth important economic zone after China, India and the US, and as it happens now in the vaccination manufacturing, and obviously we are still much ahead of India and we are much ahead of China as well in terms of GDP. EU has now 450 million and we have 18 trillion of GDP, but the Chinese will get us quite soon. And the Indians maybe as well. And as they have shown, they are also quite capable in manufacturing and in technology. And we should also learn to compete. And as it was always the case in big countries like Germany, they don't compete because they are already big market and they are anyhow big. They are quite successful. So there seems to be no need for change. But that we had now enough. And this kind of lack of leadership the last 8 years has led us from one crisis to one next crisis, always to just fight the next crisis and somehow manage. No, we need a kind of a project for 2030 of a Germany that's growing, of a new America inside the European Union, of a country taking responsibility and also cutting taxes to 20, selling some state assets, opening their markets and getting more countries into the European Union, being an anchor of hope for a united Europe, yeah? And a place where people dream to be there, to be part of innovation, of technology, of growth, of entrepreneurship, of SMEs, yeah? And this kind of discussion, not the defensive one led by Greenpeace, only about the Green Deal and about out of something, end of technology, end of coal, end of everything. No, no, no. A country of growth and technology. That must be the vision for a modern European Germany. A country which can do infrastructure, which does infrastructure, which builds tunnels and bridges and highways and railways to its neighbors and makes sure that they are also connected from Ukraine to Turkey, from Northern Europe to Southern Europe with modern kind of mobility infrastructure. And also to be the pumping heart of an industrial and entrepreneurial and innovative continent called European Union, united in fairness, openness, transparency, and really able to be one of the great areas of the world where you can really live and work and innovate and research and contribute to the future development of this planet altogether. Obviously responsible with the environment, but that's not the only topic. It's jobs, it's growth, it's prosperity, it's SMEs, the German economic miracle of Erhard, of Adenauer, all over again in the next mandate, boosted by digitalization. There is, you know, the BioNTech. Okay, it's just the one symbol what can be achieved, yeah? But there must be hundreds of biotechs, yeah, and of on successful entrepreneurship miracles of migration and of anybody in a kind of a framework where research and getting rich is also rewarded, where not everybody should be equally paralyzed in front of, you know, otherwise you are not a good person when you are successful. No, success must be rewarded, taxes must be low, growth and entrepreneurship must be applauded. The world is not only for supermodels and influencers, no. It must be science, technology, innovation, new products, new services. And this is, I think, the way forward. And Germany has always in the history also contributed to this significantly, especially in the second part of the 19th century. And that is also, I think, was pretty successful in many ways until the big disasters. Yeah. And now, again, to be this economic miracle of Adenauer Erhard, clearly with the West, clearly with America, America reaching out the open arms of Biden now, and is hopefully Armin Laschet and his team from the Liberals and the Greens will be open and will be also ending this Nord Stream 2 pipeline of corruption and war and making sure there is a clear confrontation of Russian aggression against Europe in Ukraine, and then also to be open for all the Balkans, yeah, and for Ukraine in the UN NATO, and together with TTIP, Mercosur, to really build a big growth opportunity, also with everybody else from the world who wants to trade with Europe. But no kind of this autarky, protectionist decline Germany, but the one which is growing, which is strong, which is also open and which is dynamic. As, you know, look at the map of Europe. It's in the center. If Germany works, everybody will be successful. If Germany is in morosity, decline against technology, against innovation, against the future, run by small guys which want only to redistribute, and we see the industrial worker of some socialist fantasy as the ideal, and not the innovator and researcher and new smart economy as the future, then we are going in a problem. And I'm optimistic. I see that Germany coming, and I would really love to see this European, this pro-Western, pro-American Germany to succeed in September. And I think it is entirely possible. And I think that would be good. So, yes to a modernization, a decade of European Germany. And that would be wonderful for a much more open and stronger West. So, thanks a lot for listening. And let's see what will be the result in September in 2021. Best regards.